Thank you, Pastor Keith
and Heysook.
We met them about 3-4 years ago, and awesome couple. Absolutely loves God with all their heart. And I love that you guys have a pastor that knows how to wait on God, that has the patience to wait on Him in a service. Really is incredible. We are so delighted and honored to be here. My wonderful wife, my better half, everyone, guys, you know, your wife is your better half. And she is incredible, and I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you, baby. I love you. And we have moved from Springfield as senior pastors. We were there for about 3 years, and then we moved over to Hermiston, Oregon. I am now under Pastor Dean Hackett and his ministry, and that guy is awesome. Awesome guy. I try to fight him, but I'll lose every time. Guy's a Marine, a Navy man, and anyways, it's really incredible just to be under his ministry, and the guy is a whiz. It's incredible. So I'm really excited about bringing you the word this morning. I'm a youth pastor, so if you don't mind, I'm going to act like a youth pastor this morning. Pastor Dean loves golf. And we had ordered these golf balls, these exploding golf balls. And so we took them out and we're on the range and he's getting these new clubs. This club manufacturer contacts Pastor Dean and says, "We want to send you out this driver, and if you don't like it, you can keep it, you know, and it's really nice." And so he's really excited, and I'm trying to convince him to use this ball that I got. You know, and I'm like, "Okay, here, just use this ball real quick." And I'm like, "Dude, he didn't get it." You know, so he gets up there and he hits it and it just explodes and he's going crazy and it's really funny. And the video is like priceless, you know. He's just like freaking out and he's just like, "What in the world's happening?" You know? Oh man, YouTube. Oh, I love it. And so I said, "This is what you hired, you know, this is who you got. So be prepared, okay?" So and then before that, the youth group, like years ago, had these like pink flamingos. And they're like 50 plastic pink flamingos that you could like stake in your yard. It's really weird and awkward. So I got like 50 of these guys on Sunday, on Saturday night, I staked them in pastor's yard. They're all over the place, you know? And so he wakes up on Sunday morning and I did it that way so he couldn't do anything about it until after church. So he came and he's like, "Who did this?" And then I was like, you know, I could go and get someone to pick them up. But he's like, "No, I just want my neighbors to see them." And I said, "Oh, okay." So it was Super Bowl Sunday and I'm hanging out at a friend's house on Super Bowl Sunday. I get home and all the flamingos are in my yard. And just, man, tough. I'm telling you, tough. But But it has been amazing. We've been in Hermiston for about 4 months now, and incredible things are happening in our youth group Fusion. We got there, and we have a wonderful team to work with. And God is just Pastor Keith is so right on. The young people are so hungry, and they can spot authentic. They can spot a fake. Like that. They know. They want the authenticity, the authentic gospel. And I think it was 2 weeks ago on Wednesday night, we had about 84 students. And it's just incredible. People are wanting to know about Jesus. Young people are really, really wanting to know that. We're doing a series right now called Can I Ask That? And I loved whoever shared that testimony. Thank you so much. Touches our heart. It's so true because teens, there's a study done that they want to know or they want answers to really tough questions. Why does Satan exist? Or why doesn't God just take out Satan? Right? That's a question that most teens have. Is it okay to be homosexual? I mean, all these questions, real questions that they deal with and they ask. And we're doing this series called Can I Ask That? And it's them asking me questions, the hardest questions that they have, and me trying my best to answer them. And letting them know that there's going to be answers where the answer is, I don't know. Only God does. And that has to be good enough. But, for instance, this last week, the question was, why does Satan exist, or why doesn't God deal with him? Why doesn't he die? Why doesn't he just kill him now? And the answer is in 1 Peter chapter 5, where it says, where God talks about he's not slow in the way we know he's slow, but he's patient. Why is he patient with Satan? Is because when Satan's gone, there's no more salvation. When Satan's gone, there's no more opportunities to get saved. There's no more opportunities for salvation for your family and friends. That's why he's still around. Because my family and your family and friends still have a chance to get saved. If he's gone, there's no more chance. Chance is gone. That's why he's still here. They are looking for these answers. They're looking for, you know, and even if you say, man, God knows, only he knows, they're okay with that. At least you're being honest with them. So anyways, enough with that. If you could turn in your Bibles, if you have your Bibles this morning, if you will turn into Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. I love scripture, and I love little subtle scriptures that, like, you, like, realize, wow, I didn't know this was here. Or, like, man, I didn't see this before. It's just proof that Scripture is alive. Luke chapter 22, verses 7. It says, then came the day on unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare the Passover for us so that we may eat it. They said to him, where will you have us prepare it? He said to them, behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into a house that he enters, and tell the master of the house, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And he said, and he will show you a large upper room furnished. Prepare it there. And they went and found it. And he had them, and he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when the hour came, he reclined at the table. Jesus reclined at the table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I will tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, the cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Heavenly Father, we love you and we praise you. I pray that you use this message for your intentions, Lord. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. There are times when I can relate to Jesus in Scripture. There are things that Jesus does in Scripture where, like, okay, I can relate to that. Or I understand that. Or I've done that before. But this is a time in Scripture where I'm like, God, what are you doing? Jesus, what are you doing with these guys, Peter and John? So the story is that Peter or Jesus wants Peter and John to go set up the Passover. And the amazing thing is how Jesus is in this moment. I've experienced you know, this moment of Jesus asking the disciples or the John and Peter to go and do this. And the way that he does it is incredible. It's not just go here and that's it. It's a lot more to it than that. There are times in Scripture when I can relate to Jesus, but then there's times where I'm like, man, I can't relate to that at all. There are times when Jesus is, when someone needs money and he takes a coin out of a fish, right? And he does this miraculous, it's amazing. And I have experienced that on a personal level. And when we moved to Springfield, Tiff had to finish school, her school in Fresno. We were in Fresno for about 10 years, and we moved to Springfield, but she had to stay, and she had to finish school for 4 months. So I had moved to a new position I've never filled before, and a new adventure I've never been on, and my wife's in Fresno, and I have to be in Springfield for 4 months. And so there were times when we had bills to pay, and we took a pay cut, and we're like, man, God, what are you doing? And there are times when we needed a certain bill paid. We needed it, like, within a week, and it was going to hurt us. And I'm like, God, you've got this. I know you got this. My wife's away. Why'd you take my wife? She's away, and so I need your help. God, I need you to come through. And I remember I was in my office, and we're hanging out in there, and I had a knock on the door of the church, and I opened it, and this lady that I've never seen before. And she's standing there, and she goes, are you the pastor? And I said, yeah, I know you're probably looking for someone older, but yes, I am the pastor. And she said, well, God told me to come and give you a check. What? Anything else? No. So she wrote a check for the amount that I needed. Crazy. Crazy. You can't explain that. You can't, right? Only God could have done that. And then Christmas time, on Christmas Day, we're in our house and we're trying to figure other things out. And the same lady that I had no clue who she was or where she lives comes to our door and hands me an envelope and walks off. Doesn't even say Merry Christmas. How rude. No, I'm just... She hands me an envelope and she walks off. And I close the door and Tiffany goes, honey, who was that? This lady had provided our financial blessing for us to pay our bills. It's crazy. Only God could have done that. Only God could have worked that. There's things in Scripture where, okay, God, I can relate to this. When there's things that are just so different and weird and how Jesus does things. But this Jesus... is here. He sends Peter and John, and how he sends them is crazy. I know what it is like whenever we have guests over in a house. So John and Peter, Jesus tells them to go and prepare this place for this meal, this Passover, and the Passover has so much significance in all of itself. It means so much in and of itself. So Jesus tells John and Peter, I need you to go and you need to go prepare this room. So they go out and they say, Jesus, where do we go? Jesus says, well, you go out to the city. Doesn't even tell him where. Just go to the city. There's a guy with a jar of water. And then when you follow that guy, you'll follow him into a house. And that guy actually might not even be the owner of that house. But then you find the owner. And then you ask the owner where the room is. And then he'll tell you. And then you go fill that room. What? Why can't you just tell me the address? It could have been so much easier if, like, okay, God, where do you want me to go? Okay, it's New Horizons in Shelton, Oregon. Or Shelton, Washington. It could have been easier, right? So the disciples go out and say, Jesus, where do you want us to go? Well, there's a guy with a jug of water. God, there's like five guys with jugs of water. I need you to follow that guy. And then I need you to follow him into a house, which is creepy all in itself, right? Like, you're just like following the guy. The guy, what are you doing? I'm following you. It's okay. It's okay. God told me to do this. So you follow the guy into the house. And then you don't even know if the guy that you're following is the owner. So then you have to ask, I need to see the owner. I need to see the guy who owns the house. And then when you find the guy who owns the house, you have to tell him that I've been sent, that I need an upper room. I needed some room to prepare. I mean, it's just wild. It's the difference between having real directions. I'm so glad that GPS is around. I am so glad. I often wonder, what did they do before GPS? Of course, maps and stuff. But I've never used a map for anything. Like, I've only used, like, GPS, and it tells me, right? Like, I'm so spoiled. Like, just going, take a left here. Take a left on E Street. And take a right on Washington, and you'll find the church. Like, so easy to get there. But Jesus is like, it's kind of like going, in a remote place, and the only directions that you get is take a left at the tree down the road. Take a right at the rock that splits in half. Like, what kind of directions is that? And it takes faith to get from where Peter and John is. It takes faith from getting from Jesus to that house. Right? Like, God, what are you doing? Like, I don't understand. You want me to get from here to there? You want me to get from here and follow some guy with a jar of water to go into a house that I don't even know, and then find the owner and then prepare a room or a table for them? Like, that's what you want me to do? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, because it'll take faith for you to even set up the table. It'll take faith to set up the table. It'll take faith to even get on the journey. It'll take faith to follow what God tells you to do. Tiff and I, it's like, God, I need clear directions. I need something a little bit more clear. Tiff and I love how God just ministers and calls us different places. And me, I'm a little bit more stubborn. I'll tell you right now, I'm stubborn. And my wife, she hates it, and she'll call it out of me, and she'll beat me. No, she won't beat me. But it's crazy, because when we were in Springfield, I had this idea, Pastor Keith, that I was going to stay in Springfield for 5 years. I told Tiffany, I'm going to stay here for 5 years. I'm here for 5 years. In fact, this administrative bishop of Arizona, we were at dinner together, and I told him at this table, I said, don't call me in 5 years. And he started laughing. He's like, okay, honey, we can't call him in 5 years. I had this like idea that I was going to stay in Springfield for 5 years. And Tiffany's like, you idiot. Like, God can call us anywhere, anytime. And so this position in Hermiston opens up, and Tiffany asks me, she goes, have you ever thought about Hermiston? No, honey, 5 years. I told you 5 years. Remember, honey? Remember, I told you 5 years? And she asked me this question. My youth pastor, when I was younger, called me. And he said, I was really thinking about this position in Hermiston. This youth pastor is telling me, do you know anything about it? Well, I know Pastor Dean, and I don't know a lot about Pastor Dean. I know who he is, and I know what he's looking for. And so he's from Albuquerque, New Mexico, and he's ministering down there, and he calls me the next day. He goes, I've been praying, and I don't think God's sending me there. And I said, oh, yeah? He goes, yeah, I'm actually from Albuquerque, New Mexico. And when I was praying about moving to Hermiston, God asked me, why would you want to move from your people? And he's like, I spend every week, I go once a week to this juvenile detention center in which I was locked up in when I was 18. And I minister to these kids. This guy is telling me this, my youth pastor. Said, God said, why would you want to leave your people? And I said, wow, that's awesome. And he says, well, Dave, where are you from? I said, I'm from Hermiston, Oregon. He said, what? You're from Hermiston, Oregon, and there's a position open in Hermiston. I said, maybe God is sending you back to your people. Wow, this is crazy. So my wife asked me again, she goes, have you ever thought about Hermiston, babe? Honey, 5 years. I told Tiffany, I said, I will only consider it if it's a God thing. If he tells, if Pastor Dean calls me and says, God laid you on my heart, I'll consider it. So the next day, Pastor Dean calls me. And he goes, David, I've been praying about this. I've been praying over and over again. And I really would like you to consider this position in Hermiston. Pastor Dean, 5 years. No, I didn't tell him that. I said, yeah, absolutely. We would love to consider this. So here is my idea of where I wanted to be in 5 years. And here was God's plan of where he wanted me. And for me to get from my stubbornness to where God wanted me, it had to be faith. God, I don't know where you're taking me. I don't know where we're going. God, what's in Hermiston? I mean, it takes faith to getting from where I thought I wanted to be and where God actually wanted me to be. And he moved us in a month. And he says, get your things ready. We're moving. And things have been happening in Hermiston just in our just to kind of confirm God's favor and God's calling on our life. It is crazy. And it's incredible to be under Pastor Dean's ministry. And that guy has a heart of gold. And it's been awesome to be under him and be there. And it all takes faith. I wonder what would have happened if I just said, God, I don't want to move. God, it's okay. I got it from here. God, I know, but it's 5 years. I told my wife 5 years. I told this guy 5 years. 5 years, God. I wonder what would happen if Peter and John would have said, God, it's okay. We'll just find it. We'll find the house. So they go, and it takes faith from getting from the place where they are with Jesus to even finding the house, finding the place they need to go. And it's incredible. If Peter and John only knew what they were doing and what they were preparing. Man, if they only knew what they were preparing. They were preparing Jesus' last meal. And they didn't know. They were preparing his last supper. They were preparing on the table communion in which churches would adopt as sacraments. They were preparing things that Paul would write about, saying, this is my cup, do it in remembrance of me. Examine your heart before you take communion. They were doing things that we would know today. It's crazy what they were doing, what they were preparing. They were preparing for the Passover festival, which has so much significance on itself. And that Passover festival goes back all the way to Moses. And at Moses' day, where Pharaoh is there and God's sending 10 plagues to Pharaoh. And the last plague that he sends is that if you don't have the lamb's blood on your doorposts by a certain day, the Spirit of God will go over the city and he will take the firstborn. And that lamb's blood, it was just so many rules that you had to have. The lamb had to be without blemish and you had to paint it on your doorposts. And here comes God and he's going over. And that's why it's called the Passover. Because the Spirit of God passes over the house and the blood's there and it saves that family. It saves that firstborn. The Passover has so much significance all in itself that Jesus himself is ready to recline at a table in which he himself will be our Passover. He's reclining at a table and drinking a cup of wine that signifies his blood, in which later his blood will save our lives. Incredible. Incredible significance of this Passover. Incredible significance of what Peter and John are preparing. Incredible significance. And I love their heart. What a great part that Peter and John are playing setting up the Passover dinner. And it just so happens to be the same night that Jesus is going to be betrayed. Jesus specifically asked Peter to prepare a room for him or a table for him. Jesus didn't snap his fingers and the table was prepared. Jesus didn't blink his eyes and the table was prepared. He didn't speak it into existence. He wanted Peter and John to set up the table, to specifically prepare the table for that night. I love that we can see the Trinity in work in this scripture. The reason why I say that is when I was praying and studying about this, there's things that just I've never seen before. they have so much significance of John and Peter getting to the house to set up the table. So much significance. I've said that over and over again because I want you to hear it. I want you to get it. Memorize it because it's so awesome. So in salvation, you have the Trinity at work. The Holy Spirit draws people to Jesus. Jesus brings salvation into their life and forgives them of their sin. Then God, the Father, welcomes them into the family of God. Correct? So here's these three, the Trinity, all at work in salvation. But here is where Peter and John, or you and I, play a part in that salvation role. I don't have any power to forgive your sins. I don't have any power to, you know, here's the part that we play. Peter and John prepared the table for Jesus. Right? So I can see this, that you and I prepare the table for our families and friends. Then the Holy Spirit draws that family and friend to the table to meet with Jesus. And I love what Pastor Keith said this morning. I stand here and knock at the door. Whoever answers, I'll come and dine with them. And here, the Holy Spirit draws your family and friends to the table to dine with Jesus. And then Jesus brings salvation. And then God welcomes them into the family. And I think that plays so much significance in our role as Christians. What does preparing a table for your family and friends mean? It just means that you tell them that God loves you. What is preparing a table for your loved ones? Hey man, God has so much more for you. God has so much more for your life. He loves you so much. He can set you free. That's what preparing a table looks like. In Hermiston, we've been there for 4 months, and there's a store, and I've walked into it several times, and there's a guy behind the counter by the name of Sean. And the store is called Crazy Mike's. And I call him Crazy Sean, and we laugh at each other. And so one day, I was talking to him, and he goes, "So what do you do? Who are you?" And I said, "Well, I'm a youth pastor in town." He goes, "Oh, that's so awesome. My sister works with youth in this town." I said, "Oh, that's awesome. I know your sister." And we started talking. He goes, "But man, I've been drinking. I'm an alcoholic. I need Jesus." We started talking. I'm like, "Dude, I just told you I'm a youth pastor. That's all I've done so far." And I said, "Man, I love you. Like, you don't know me. And it's kind of creepy for me to tell you that, some guy in a random store, but I love you. God loves you so much." He ended up coming to our Sunday morning service 2 weeks later and rededicating his life to Christ. Awesome. 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 What was happening in the store? I was preparing a table for the Holy Spirit to draw that gentleman to the table. Right? It's just telling, "I love you, dude. You're so awesome. God has so much for you. He has bigger plans for you than you can even dream of. You're an alcoholic. God wants to bring you freedom. You're an addict. God wants you to bring you freedom." I think there's a role that God wants us to play, individuals, for our family and friends, to prepare a table for them. Man, God loves you. He's so awesome. He has a plan for your life. He has a plan for you, and it could be so much more than you can ever think. I love the prophetic word that was spoken this morning. "I have so much more for you that will blow your mind." So God, that's awesome. That's so awesome. Man, there's things that we can do as Christians for this younger generation and prepare a table for them. Man, I love what God has done and is doing and continuing to do. And one of the things that I realized that young generation wants is they want a safe place. They want a safe place to be. They want a safe place to hang out. They want a safe place to ask questions. They want a safe place to be themselves. Very critical in our world today. They want a safe place where they can be themselves. And on youth night, I get crazy. I need Jesus on youth night. Tiffany looks at me, you need Jesus. Yes, honey, I do. In fact, last week we played a game, and the game, the losers had to eat crickets. I mean, it just, things like pop in my head, and it's like, what are you doing? Like, and it's really fun. And these teens can be them. Yeah, like it's really fun, but I never ate one. All these kids ate it. And the kids come up to me and they said, man, this is a safe place for me to be myself. This is a safe place for us to be. When I go to the high school two or three times a week, and the high school is so open to other youth pastors being there and actually presenting videos that present the gospel. It's really awesome. It's like a they call it Connections, and it's between two classes where there's a break, 30-minute break. We have convinced the school that we'll show videos of Christianity. And we get 100 to 150 students in this room watching these videos, simple videos on how to become a Christian. Simple, and it's really awesome to be. And so to connect to these students, even at their high school, and I tell them, man, God loves you. He has a bigger plan for you. Man, they just want a safe place. They just want. That's what preparing a table looks like, even in this young generation, is preparing a safe place for them. When Pastor David goes up and he shares his story last night, man, I was in a church for 18 years and didn't know Christ. That's awesome. You could be in a church and not be a Christian, just like you standing in a garage doesn't make you a car. You know? And so here David is sharing his story, and I believe some of those kids can relate to him. Oh, yeah, I never even thought of that. And I think what he was doing was preparing a table for these kids. Prepare a table for your family. Prepare a table for your loved ones. Write them a letter. Go on Facebook. Facebook is the best way to connect with this younger generation is Facebook. Is message them. Man, God loves you. He has so much more for you. He's so awesome. He has so much designed for you in your life. Prepare a table for your family. Let them know that you love them. Let them know that God loves them. That he has a plan for them. Amen? Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good to us. It takes faith to get from Jesus to the room. But what you're doing in the room is you're preparing a place for Jesus to meet. You're preparing a place for Jesus and the other disciples to meet. And I think in life, as a Christian, I think we have a duty and a calling to prepare tables for our loved ones. Even if it's just simply saying, God loves you. I think there's a calling of preparing tables for our relatives, maybe friends, maybe younger children, younger teens that you know of, maybe teens that are hurting. They need to know someone loves them. That's what you're doing, is preparing a table so that the Holy Spirit can draw them to the table, so that Jesus can dine with them at the table, so that the Father can welcome them into the family. That's what preparing a table is all about. Heavenly Father, we love you and we praise you. We honor you this morning. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would move in our hearts and minds. You are so good. Lord, you're so great, Father. We praise you and we worship you. We give you all of our hearts and our minds. I pray that you be with us this morning. Teach us, Lord, how to prepare tables. Teach us, Lord, how to prepare them for our loved ones, our relatives, our family. Teach us, Lord, how to prepare the loved ones for this younger generation. This next generation. Holy Spirit, guide us. God, if you told me to follow a guy with a water jug, I'll follow a guy. God, if you tell me to walk into a house, I'll walk into the house. I want to follow you, Lord. We thank you and we praise you for what you're doing. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Challenge us this morning. We love you and we praise you, Lord. Hallelujah.